I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to this week's Failed Critics podcast. I'm Steve Norman, and this week I'm joined by Owen Hughes.
Hello, Steve.
Hello. As we join the Sci-Fi Channel as Sharknado 5 premieres, and for this podcast, we are going to podcast along with this cinematic experience, this event of film, this hell on earth. It's just starting. Sharknado 5, yeah. Global Swarming, and it's gone for an Indiana Jones type font for the introduction here in the opening credits.
Yes, but I guess it's trying to set up like an adventure style film this time, right? From what I gather, this film is more post-apocalyptic than anything else. So it's an interesting angle to go with.
Yes.
We're not going to do like what we've done in the past, right? Where we've had these like commentary style podcasts. We're not really doing a commentary on the film. We're just watching it whilst podcasting.
Yes. So also, if you hear some loud noises in the background at the beginning of this podcast, it's my washing machine, but it shouldn't go on for too much longer. It might be more entertaining than Sharknado 5. If you want to know what I'm washing, it's a football kit. So just an insight into my life for you all.
Oh, so then I've just seen London. So you don't see London in Sharknado 5 unless they're going to destroy it with a Sharknado.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go global. Some stock footage of London. You could quite easily, over that initial bit there, have played a different type of music, and it would have been the introduction to the Sweeney film.
Why not?
Yeah.
If it was, if they showed a Caravan Park and Ray Winston tearing around it in his... Ford Mondeo or whatever it was he was driving, that would have suited.
Apparently, Steve Guttenberg turned down the lead role for Sharknado back when Sharknado the first came out.
Oh no way!
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, so something we've all missed out on.
Said it went to Ian Ziering as Finn Shepherd.
I don't know who Ian Ziering is.
No, I can't think of anything else he's been in, to be honest. No. But to be fair, I doubt he ever needs to do anything else again.
No,
because it's one of those things, isn't it, that's just for some reason turned into this massive event TV.
It's like what
every year.
Yeah, it's like what the Fast and Furious films are for Vin Diesel.
But for Ian Ziering.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing.
I suppose. Oh, Stonehenge in the background. Eh? Got a bit of Stonehenge just to let you know we're still in England.
If any of our foreign listeners, or indeed British listeners who haven't been to Stonehenge are listening right now, don't go. It's crap. Basically, you can drive past it and see everything you'd see as if you paid to go into the site.
Yeah. I've never been. I did a report, a news report on Stonehenge once because they found that the oldest prehistoric dog remains in the UK. Basically, that they travelled a long distance. Like, it had come from York all the way down to Stonehenge before Stonehenge was built. So, like, they found the remains, like, a prehistoric dog and its owner in this grave, which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of suggests that we've been travelling to the site before Stonehenge was there. So it was a significant place before they built the stones.
But
anyway, that's probably very boring to anybody listening who's expecting some Sharknado 5 coverage.
Yeah, so. Here's some Sharknado 5 coverage. So far, all the women in this film seem to be wearing leather trousers. Now, that seems to be very impractical for the adventures that are going to be going on, because the running, I can't imagine they're the most flexible for doing some running or like jumping about and that. Also, they're going to get hot very quick when you run. It's going to be a lot of sweat and a lot of chafage in those, and you're going to get rash, and it's going to be really uncomfortable when you're trying to avoid sharks from the sky.
Although that helmet that they've got there with the shark spin on it looks very aerodynamic. Maybe that helps. That counterbalances the whole leather trousers business.
They've just bought that from a joke shop that people, you know, wear in the sea when they're having a little swim on a seaside town with a shark fin on their head to try and scare people.
Yep.
Hang on.
It's getting a lot of coverage on screen, so I imagine you can buy it.
I thought that was Sharon from EastEnders for a minute. But it's not. It's somebody else that I recognise and I can't think who it is.
Oh, I don't recognise it. But that's all like Sharknado is, right? They've been built on having celebrity cameos.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they're known for.
Who is that? It's somebody like... I need to get a proper...
I don't know.
Oh, well, never mind. Never mind.
They've gone.
Yeah, that's them done.
Yeah. Okay, so Sharknado, we've been covering this since the very beginning for some reason.
Yeah.
Because you remember like way back when the first one came out and James, that's James Diamond, founder of Fail Critics, I should add.
Yeah.
He was apoplectic with rage after watching Sharknado. Do you remember that? He bought it on DVD. He went to HMV and paid for it because he thought the name sounded funny.
But then he liked Iron Sky, so, you know.
That's true. He did. He was pushing that, which was about Nazis on the moon or something.
Moon Nazis.
Was it Icelandic or Finnish or something? European anyway, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. But I think the first Sharknado is terrible, but the second one is kind of, it got there before the series was too knowing, like too self-aware. They've always been self-aware. They know what they are.
But now it's a parody of a parody.
That's exactly right. The first one was just exploitation cinema. Mm. The second one was aware of what it was and just had a lot of fun with itself. And then the rest of them, yeah, it's just about cramming in celebrity names. I mean, they've never really been about the story. And they always have at least one or two cool scenes in it that usually get gift. Like the, was it the last one, Sharknado 4, that had the male stripper who crotch punched a flying shark out of the way?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
What the bloody hell is going on now?
There's Indiana Jones's hat.
Yeah. And here he's going to pick something up and then run away. Yeah. Have we ever found out what's called...
You get it, Steve? Because it's like Indiana Jones. Mm. You get it?
Yeah.
Because it's like that Indiana Jones. That's what it is. Mm. Just in case you didn't get it. Just to reiterate again, Steve, because they're going to do it a million times. It's like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Have we ever found out, though, what is causing, over the previous four films, what the cause of the Sharknados are? Like, is it some evil scientist man who's doing it? Or is it just some weird, you know, how come all these tornadoes are picking up sharks all of a sudden? Like, is there any reason to it? Like, even if it's badly explained science, like you get on The Day After Tomorrow or 2012.
I imagine it might be something to do with the neutrinos. They might have mutated into sharks or into tornadoes, one or the other.
Mm. This film looks like it's going to try and explain the backstory to Sharknado somewhat.
I think it is going to build on that mythology.
Mm.
But... I mean, at the end of the day, nobody cares. No one's watching it for that.
I am.
You are. You may be.
Oh, yeah, Indiana Jones.
You might want the story, but yeah, more Indiana Jones. Mm. But I think you're right. It's probably going to establish some kind of mythos for where the Sharknadoes originated, but
yeah.
I just don't think anybody really cares. I know that you might, but most people
probably don't.
Just want to see some Sharknadoes. Some sharks get chainsawed, stabbed with sticks and hit against walls.
You can see they've spunked all their CGI budget on the sharks when you look at this water.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it looks a bit better than the others do. Not much. I mean, it's still very much an asylum movie, but this is like big proper sets and lots of CGI explosions and things.
Yeah.
And Finn Shepard, to be fair to him, he buffs out for these movies. You know, this isn't like a 60-year-old Dean Cain with a big fat belly trying to climb out of a cave. It's, you know, an actor taking his role seriously.
He's not taking his career seriously.
But not his career.
I mean, I'd argue I've been in school plays with more credibility.
Possibly. But I will keep going back to this. I do think the second Sharknado film is good. Like, it is the good in terms of it's enjoyable. You know, it's not a particularly well-made, traditionally well-made movie. But what it is just nuts and a laugh. You know, it's a film, like, at the minute, I've cracked open a beer because I think that is probably the only sensible way that we can do this.
We've just had our first death of the film.
First death, ad break as well.
Yeah.
So we've got a few things to talk about in the ad breaks, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to fill some time.
I think the first thing we should probably say is that Character Unlock, our sister gaming podcast, our third sister gaming podcast, it spawned after we'd had Field and Mullinger, Underground Nights, and then we had Front Row, my radio show. And now Character Unlock has taken off 20-plus episodes already. Doesn't feel like it's been that long, but they're on their new iTunes feed. They'll no longer be published through Failed Critics. So check them out on there. John Miller, Andrew Brooker, talking games. Have you been on Character... You haven't been on Character Unlock yet, have you, Steve?
No, they've not done their Football Manager special yet, so I've not been invited on at the moment.
So it should be a Football Manager special or FIFA or something like that, right?
They get Matt Lamborn for FIFA and get me for Football Manager.
Yeah.
I could, yeah.
I think John Miller's a bit... He's into... John Miller. I could have just said John. I don't know why I said his full name. But John...
Johnny Lee Miller.
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be quite the coup. No offence to John, but yeah, Johnny Lee Miller as a co-host of one of our sister podcasts would be pretty cool. But he's not, so...
No. Yeah, so that's Character Unlock on its own iTunes feed now.
Make sure you subscribe. I mean, if you've enjoyed listening to it on Fail Critics, it would be a shame for them to kind of lose their audience because they're on a new feed. So please do go and subscribe. Give them a like and a rating as well. And a review over on iTunes because every little thing like that really helps to push a podcast. So
there's some weird advert.
Yeah, please do that.
There's some weird advert choices in this first ad break. I mean, we've gone from like a super casino online casino thing with a quite attractive young lady. Before that was like a retirement plan advert, and I can't see too many people looking at.
What's the crossover?
Yeah, you know, how many people with looking for a retirement plan are going to be watching Sharknado 5?
I don't know, actually. I would imagine it's a very tiny, if non-existent, crossover.
Yeah. So the people who've paid for that advert are the daft ones there, really. Completely wasted. The Hitman's Bodyguard, Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. Hmm. Might be fun.
I think it could be fun. I think it could be one of the sort of sleeper hits this summer. Yeah. One of the films that comes out that everyone's kind of expecting they'll be okay, and then is just really good, proper laugh out loud fun. Because Ryan Reynolds is on a bit of a roll lately, isn't he?
Since Deadpool, he's been kind of or around Deadpool.
Well, even before that, I was going to say Deadpool and The Voices. I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Voices?
Yes, I did, yes.
It was a great little film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really just, like, interesting and, So, I think he's on a bit of a kind of role, or he's got a bit of momentum going into this, and everything about it says that it'll be quite fun.
Yeah.
Plus, Samuel L. Jackson's always good value.
Yeah, it's always very shouty and good value. What do you think of these Halifax adverts where they have all the old, like, cartoons and things? I think they're crap.
I think they're rubbish as well.
The Thunderbirds ones and all the Hanna-Barbera ones, and they're just a bit, Hate the ones fake outtakes as well.
Yeah, although I saw the advert with, was it Miss Penelope? The one that was just on TV. She was... I saw that in the cinema because I went to see Valerian, which I will talk about in one of the next few ad breaks as well. And there was outtakes from that where she was swearing. I thought, that's kind of... I mean, it made people in the cinema laugh. Put it that way.
Yeah.
People in the cinema with me thought it was funny. But then they laughed their asses off at all those Kevin Bacon ones. So, you know, no matter how many times I saw it.
Life of as if we need more Kardashians. Oh, it looks like we're very London-centric for this film. ICV have got on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Piers Morgan on this Good Morning Britain, no.
I was just about to say the same thing. Couldn't even get Piers Morgan. They've got some standards, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Louis Spence. The dancing man.
Did you watch The Crystal Maze? You know they rebooted The Crystal Maze?
Yeah, with Richard
Ayoade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had Louis Spence on one of the episodes, didn't they?
Yeah, and they left him locked in the room because he was that irritating.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you what, Joey Essex is a special kind of stupid.
I just think that he is a bit dippy, but plays up to that, like, enormously. And people like Louis Spence and Joey Essex and all that, like, where it glorifies being stupid and annoying and obnoxious and attention-seeking, I hate that at the moment. It's really off-putting. And the fact that Louis Spence is in this is also just making Sharknado 5 even more
off-putting. There's no reason for it. They must have really good agents because, all right, these are crap films, but surely you could get some sort of half... Surely, even in Louis Spence's role here, they could have got... Danny Dyer's probably a bit of a push, but they could have got, like, an EastEnders or a Corrie actor, somebody with a bit of... You know, a bit of something about
actual acting ability or history.
Yeah.
They don't go for that, though, do they? Jedward were in one of them, weren't they?
Yeah.
Sharknado 3.
Yeah, they could have at least got...
They just want the celebrity cameo. That's the target they go for.
They could have at least got Paul Dangerous to Nan.
Oh, I forgot. Hasn't she got Tara Reid? Hasn't she got, like, a robotic arm?
Yeah, she had one
That's
arm.
That's why she can hold this helicopter down.
Yeah, one arm was... bitten off by a shark. Her career has don't know.
That's what I mean, though. I don't care about consistency. Yeah, it's gone downhill quite a bit. Although, again, I say that, but she's now quite well known for the Sharknado films. They're just like phenomenon for. They're a phenomenon for The Asylum, purveyors of the infamous Mockbusters. You know, they moved from their model changed. It was quite clever of them. They went from establishing themselves as the people behind stuff like Transmorphers. And
didn't they do it? You know, it wasn't their Atlantic Rim as well.
There was Atlantic Rim. Stuff like that, which is basically designed to just hoodwink people. I mean, I'm looking through the IMDb now at all the cameos, and I'm going to try and spot some of them. I can see that Dolph Lundgren is in this film at some point.
Brilliant.
You know? That'd be quite,
Jordan's dead.
Jordan was in it. Jordan's dead.
Yeah.
Who's this guy with the guitar?
That I don't know. He's gonna hit by a bus.
Is he gonna? He's on front of the bus. Is he gonna chase the sharks off with his guitar music? Is this what we reduced to? It's just gonna be a insufferable mess, isn't it? What have we let ourselves in for? This is going to be on till like 11 p.m.
What else is on?
Oh man, Steve, I think we've made a huge mistake.
Oh, this is just right. He's just kicked the shark.
Yeah, he kicked the shark.
Oh, we're at Buckhouse now. Might get some royals.
No, that would be a cameo. If they had any of the royal family,
a top tier royal. I'm not talking like a Prince Andrew or. You know, Duchess of Kendal. I'm talking Queen, Charles, William or Harry. Top tier royal, not one of the second class ones, not some Duke of somewhere, not some Earl or something. A proper one.
Oh, well, there's Tom Daly. Tom Daly jumping. Oh, this is just barbaric. This is inflicting this on people.
How did he fire a pod from the Millennium Wheel? So they must have specifically made this targeted.
I just don't even know.
With all the cameos, they must have specifically targeted this at a British audience because no one in America is going to know who any of these cameos are.
It's odd, isn't it?
I mean, I wonder.
Maybe it's just really popular over here and not in America.
Do you know what would. Why is. What? Tari's got a jetpack in her foot.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Do you know what would make this if they ended up in Albert Square? I would forgive everything if that happened. I would honestly forgive the whole thing if they ended up in Albert Square.
And Danny Dyer was in it and served them a drink.
And punched a shark.
Does he work in the Queen Vic? Yeah.
Yeah, everyone does.
Here we go. Big Ben's destroyed. Of course it is. You can't have a film set in London that doesn't destroy London. Them's the rules, no. I think.
Mm. You got to see, yeah, Big Ben being destroyed. That's got to happen. Why is Tara Reid Iron Man?
I don't know. There's no semblance of Tara Reid left inside of her anymore. She's just all cyborg. See, there's a film. There's the existential crisis they need. Yeah. Who human is she? Is she more robot than person?
Mm.
Go a bit Ghost in the Shell with
this her. Is just bizarre. What are they running at?
Oh, my unarmed. Goodness me. Oh, come on, when's the next ad break? End this nonsense already.
These sharks seem to be a bit too proficient on land.
That's the thing, right, about Sharknado. Why are they able to actually fly? I know there's, like, being whipped up in a tornado. But, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, but you can't normally control where you go when you're in a tornado. Never mind if you're a shark.
I've seen the film Twister. I know how difficult it is.
Oh, my... What the hell? So we've just had the opening titles to the film.
What the...
We are... we are, what, it started at 10 past 9,
it's
and
now...
we are now, by my clock, 9:37, and we've got the opening titles. We've had an ad break before the opening titles.
Maybe this is the end credits. I mean, maybe giving the crown to the woman there, who I assume was the queen, maybe that's the end credits. Maybe it's done now.
No, I'm afraid not. We're back in London. So, they're deploying a blimp to take down the Sharknado.
Why would you name your blimp after the Hindenburg? It's like if you had...
That's another good question.
It's like if you had a new cruise ship and you called it the Titanic.
Could you name another famous blimp?
The Turtle Blimp.
The Turtle Blimp.
And there you go.
Another one, though.
Steve Wynn. Yeah, was that Lucy Pinder? That was Lucy Pinder. I know her from Lads Mags.
Good. Who is this?
She's somebody, isn't she?
She's Uhura from Star Trek.
Oh, yes. Oh, there we go. No man has gone before. Never, yeah. Well done, love.
Sharknados, they evolve like apes. Quality dialogue. Anyway, ad break.
Yeah.
What else are we going to talk about then? So, what have you been watching that we can talk about other than Sharknado? Ooh,
well,
in the past sort of week or so.
I'll tell you what, aside from watching stuff just quickly, right, I renewed my passport and it took a week. I was really surprised about that. You can do
That's
it now.
Quick.
If you're renewing your passport, you can do it all online now. You can take the picture yourself. Mm-hmm. You can take, if you've got a white wall at home, you can take the picture yourself, get someone else to do it. And literally, you go online, you put your details in, you upload your picture, you send it off with your old passport, and as long as they're okay with the picture and you're not a terrorist, done. And it says up to 3 weeks. It's taken 7 days for the whole thing to happen. I've got my new passport. It's ridiculous. So well done, government.
Excellent news.
Yeah. Just in case anyone, you know, I just couldn't believe it took a week to get a passport. I was expecting it to take ages. I was expecting to come back and say, no, the photo, you're smiling, or there's a shadow on it, or you can see a gap in your mouth or some... No, fine. Anyway, what happened? We've been watching Rick and Morty since that's come back, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. So Rick and Morty's on Netflix, and it's being released an episode every week alongside the screenings in America.
Yeah.
Right? So that's good, because we were worried a little bit about how we were going to get hold of Rick and Morty initially, the new series, season 3.
Yeah.
Been good so far, I think. We both watched the first episode. I've watched the second episode. So episode 2 was the one with...
The Mad
Max stuff.
Yeah.
We should be watching that instead of Sharknado.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to be talking all over that, would we?
That's true. It would just be a completely silent episode.
Yeah. Just brilliant, manically funny, weird.
Yeah. Mm. It has been very good. I really liked the Mad Max episode. Summer going a bit crazy, and it just like it it's obviously full of pop culture references still.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be what it's entirely built
on. Well, it's the same guy who did Community, and that was full of pop culture references, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Dan Harmon.
Yeah. I'm not sure what my favourite Rick and Morty episode is.
I like the one where they go to that planet and play on the computer game, and he lives out an entire life. That is just so funny.
I quite like the Purge one, the Purge episode.
The Purge is good. And the Meeseeks episode is great as well.
Yeah, and Get Swifty.
Show me what you got. Yeah.
And the one where he goes into the car, it's his own battery. He's made his own universe in there to power his car.
Yes. It's just such a... It's just brilliant ideas, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hate they think of all that stuff. It's always really impressive. And they come up with new concepts and new things to do with the characters to keep them interesting. Because it could so easily be, like, so smug and insufferable. But it isn't. It's just really... I mean, the callbacks in it as well that they have. Stuff you don't pick up on until you've watched it two or three times.
Yeah.
It's just great. The whole setup for everything, it's so intricate. Yeah, actually, considering it's only 20 minutes an episode, it's just bonkers how much they cram into it.
Mm.
Yeah. So Rick and Morty's been really good. Have you watched anything else lately?
I have, but it looks like we're coming back to Sharknado soon.
Fucking Sharknado.
Been watching Game of Thrones as that's come back, but we can do some Game of Thrones chat in the next ad break.
Oh, great. I will genuinely look forward to that because I'm not looking forward to Sharknado 5 coming back on.
Mm.
Why is the Prime Minister American?
I don't think
it's just not going to be addressed?
It's not worth questioning at this point, is it? He's dead.
It's a Hindenburg. What is it that? It's a family name. But it can withstand a tornado. Yes.
You still wouldn't... So. It doesn't matter if it's a family name. You still wouldn't call it Hindenburg.
I don't like this, Steve. Make it stop.
We've committed to this now.
So what we did... What have we done with Sharknado in the past? Because we had the first episode where we reviewed it. The second episode, we did a preview and a full review on the website on failcritics.com.
I live tweeted
one
of them.
And then was it 3 and 4? I was going to say, did you do 3 and 4 or just one of them?
I think I only did one of them.
We kind
of
turned it into a big event thing.
Yeah.
Just to me, it's a bit like Eurovision. You know, everyone tunes in to watch it. But even this year, I mean, I'm looking on Twitter, there aren't really that many people talking about it. Last time, there was tons of comments.
I think it's literally jumped the shark.
Very good.
Mm. Everyone's impressed with that one. There's just no sense to any of this. We need to get in that Sharknado. No, you don't. Just don't.
So I'm going to have a look through some tweets. Randy Lincoln, at Randy Lincoln 5, who's watching live, he said, anybody else missed their wedding for this movie? If he's missed his wedding for Sharknado 5.
I feel sorry for his good lady wife.
See, well, presumably isn't his wife.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise he wouldn't be marrying her.
Mm.
Unless he has a wife already, in which case, yes.
Maybe he's a bigamist.
Yep.
Possible. We don't know. Any other tweets?
The sharks have gone too far this time. Nothing interrupts afternoon tea in the UK. That's from Nick the Wheel.
We didn't see any queuing, did we? In the English-based bit, we didn't see any queuing.
I didn't see any pinky fingers either when people were drinking their tea.
No,
you know.
The research department on this film is just terrible.
I know we've got the Offspring soundtrack.
I mean, that I can deal with.
Yeah, but this is like a song that's about 20 years old. I don't even get what's happening.
They are actually jumping sharks now.
I'm pretty sure in the third one or the second one, they jumped a shark on a jet ski, which was meant to be obviously an ode to when the Fonz jumped it wearing skis.
Yeah. Like, how are there so many sharks in these tornadoes?
They're basically wiping out the entire sort of species of various sharks.
How many species of shark can you name? Between the two of us, how many species of shark could we name?
Hammerhead.
Yeah.
Tiger shark.
Great white.
Great white. Blue shark. Bull shark.
Basking shark.
Yeah, silver shark.
Isn't a dogfish technically a shark?
That's true, yeah. Dogfish.
Yeah.
I think that's it, isn't it? 8? Yeah, what are those really little ones? Those tiny ones? They're about, like, 6 inches or something like that.
Guppies.
Guppies. Mm. A 6-inch guppy would be a fucking massive guppy.
I tell you what, they're going to start killing off huskies with sharks. I'm going to be furious. They're lovely dogs. Yeah. Right, if Tara Reid's Iron Man, why is she on a fucking sled? It doesn't make any sense. Just get an Iron Man.
You know, all the reactions, I'm struggling to find any negative comments here on Twitter. Get in, Sharknado 5 is on. Oh, this is a good one. London Bridge is falling down. That's Tower Bridge, you idiot. There we go. That's the Twitter rage I like to see.
I think that happens quite often, doesn't it? People mistaking Tower and London Bridge. Oh, they've got themselves into the Sharknado. That's what they wanted to do.
Nick the Wheel, again, is tweeting on Twitter. He said, I might have missed a very important plot point, but where did the mountains come from? Or are they the ones just outside Coventry? Where did they come from, actually?
Well,
It
did say that they're in Switzerland. It did come up on the screen. They were in Switzerland.
Okay, they're in Switzerland.
I don't know how Coventry. I don't really know how they got there. Now they're in Australia.
Yeah, never realised how close London was to Switzerland. Here we go. Oh, my God, this is so bad. From Jeff Lowe's. Yeah, I agree. I have to agree. I think what I will talk about then is a film that I did watch this weekend and also found to be pretty crap. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. You quite sensibly avoided this one, Steve.
Yeah.
Is that right? You decided you weren't going to waste any of your time on it, the new Luc Besson film?
I was watching wheelbarrow races.
You was at a carnival all weekend.
Yeah.
This is Luc Besson's film about two partners, played by Cara Delevingne, who plays Loreline, and Dane DeHaan, who plays the title character, Valerian. And they're pilots working for the government. They fly spaceships, and they... I mean, I could give you the plot. I said on my radio show this morning, on Books 101 Radio, I could give you the plot, but it's just so... It's just nonsensical. It doesn't really make a huge lot of sense. They start by trying to recover a stolen object and then discover that it's to do with some conspiracy about an alien race that were wiped out by a mad general who's played by Clive Owen. And then it just goes all over the place. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. It jumps all over the shop. Dane DeHaan. Now, I've liked him in previous things. You know, I guess a lot of people recognise him as Green Goblin from The Amazing Spider-Man 2. But he's also been in Chronicle. He was good in Chronicle. I really liked him a lot in The Place Beyond the Pines. He was in Warm Bodies. And he just cannot be the lead actor that they want for this film. Because he looks like he's about 12 years old. And he has no charisma whatsoever to be the leading womanizing pilot. Just none at all. It just doesn't convince you at any point. Whereas Cara Delevingne does quite well, considering she doesn't have very much to work with in the first place. The script is poor. They have really poor dialogue, but yeah. So, I mean, it looks pretty, I guess. That's the only thing that it's got going for it, because it's like a fantasy space opera. A bit like Star Wars. Based on a 50-year-old French comic book. It looks quite pretty. And I was reading up about this. Luc Besson designed 200 unique, different creatures for this film. There's like over 200 different species, which you see. And to be fair, I mean, they do look great. I mean, there's the designs on them. They all kind of look, if not realistic or convincing, at least like there's noticeable differences between them. It's not just like one's got big eyes and one's purple and one's quite short. And, you know, there's like thought and effort that's been put into them, into the way they look. And apparently the cast were given like this booklet with all of the monsters, all the different alien species in it, and told to research how these like creatures, how they all behave differently. So, like, when they're acting across from whatever species it might be at that particular time, they know how it reacts. Like, they know how it will move and how it will behave. So they really, like, went to town on this, like, world building.
If I was an actor...
Which is admirable.
If I was an actor and Luke Besson gave me that, I'd go and do a different film. I just couldn't be bothered. Like, no. 200. If it's like 10 or, like, 25, be like, okay, fine. 200, I mean, mate, come on.
I kind of think it's quite cool, though. I mean, it's not like they have dialogue or long conversations with over 200 different species. You know, you just see them about and, you know, it's the way they bump into them and the way that, you know, they might look at each other and stuff. They kind of have this built up mythology about how the characters behave, which I thought was quite a nice touch. I think that's quite cool. But, I mean, like, Luc Besson's, I guess his most famous sci-fi slash fantasy thing was The Fifth Element. Have you seen The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis?
And former Premier League footballer and QPR player Fitz Hall.
That's right, yeah. I always forget Fitz Hall's in that.
Yeah, just weird.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Fifth Element?
Yeah, I like The Fifth Element. Better film than Fitz Hall was Defender.
That's not difficult.
No.
Was Fitz Hall the guy who came up with that whole A symbol that players suddenly started doing for about a season?
No, I don't think that was him.
Was that not him?
No, because he was a defender, so he didn't score many goals, so it wouldn't have been him. Oh, we're back.
But he had like a clothing range though, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Was that him? I think that... Did Fitz Hall also play for Marseille?
No, he played
Did
for...
Did he go on loan to Marseille? No.
No, that was Tyrone Mings. And he had Ty on the back of his shirt rather than Mings. I suppose Mings... Well... Mings isn't a great surname, is it? No, Tyrone... Tyrone Mings... No, isn't he the one who's at Bournemouth? So not there wasn't Tyrone
Bournemouth,
Mings.
Yeah.
It was Tyrone something.
He's a left back, but he looks like a centre back. Tyrone
yeah,
Mings.
But that's not He's the same. Enormous, that's not the same one. The one we're talking about, he went to Marseille. Is somebody else? I'm sure it was Ty something.
Tyrone Mears.
That's it.
Tyrone Mears.
That's him.
Yes.
The women's uniforms in this film are pretty similar, aren't they? All round.
Just leather.
Black leather cleavage.
It's a requirement, I think.
Mm.
Tyrone Mears currently plays for Atlanta in MLS.
Does he? He's done all right with a limited skill set, hasn't he?
I mean, to be fair, if you're a League One / Championship standard footballer and you get an offer to move to like New York Red Bulls or LA Galaxy, you might as well do it, aren't you?
Mm.
Just take 3-4 years out of your career... Go and have a laugh in America.
Mm.
Sharknado 5, Steve. Sharknado 5, have you been keeping up?
Yeah, they're shouting at each other now.
We've got to have the obligatory crying scene. The actress has to have a bit of a teary scene to show she can really act if she wanted to.
I just wish it was over.
She just said she wants it all to go away. You and me both.
Preach, sister. Both. Preach. I hate sharks more than anything. Of course you do. What else would you possibly hate in this universe where sharks fucking live in tornadoes? Like, what would you possibly hate more?
Tornadoes.
So,
you either hate sharks or you hate tornadoes or you hate sharknadoes.
What?
To be fair, it is kind of like a utopian society, right? Because they have sharks and tornadoes that destroy, like, humanity all the time. But nobody seems that bothered about it. Like they go, there's another Sharknado. Let's get Finn Shepard in because he once tackled a Sharknado out in America. It's kind of like an otherwise peaceful society.
Some awful Australian accents here.
There must be a way to tackle a Sharknado peacefully. They haven't always got to put a bomb in the middle of it and blow it up.
Sharknado versus a leopard quake.
Yeah. That's some way down the line, isn't it?
Raptor.
They do all these crossover things.
A raptor storm.
Did they do a spider quake or something like that? Tarantula.
Possibly.
Tarantula lava or something like that?
Yeah.
With spiders coming out of a volcano?
Yeah.
If not, I'm coining that now, Asylum. Tarantula lava is mine. Oh, the Sydney Opera House is being transformed.
I bet it is.
Or to put it into better English, is transforming.
A lot of these women are very impractically dressed for their jobs.
If they want to dress like that for work, that is their prerogative.
It just seems... It's not a style thing, and it's not an aesthetics thing. It's a practicality thing.
Like Jessica Chastain. No, was it Bryce Dallas Howard running around the jungle in high heels?
In Jurassic World.
Yeah.
No, it's Bryce Dallas Howard.
It was Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
I get them confused all the time. Yeah. Tony Hawk's has just turned up.
Yeah, it's done
with his skateboard, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, done an ollie, a kickflip, yeah. 180.
Do you recognise those moves, or are you just making them up?
No, I recognise those. How is the Sydney Opera House able to transform? Like, why is it the Australians know that they need to do this to defeat the Sharknadoes?
They're a clever bunch, the Aussies. They know what to do in the case of a Sharknado.
They're not. Bunch of drongos.
Oh, dear. Mm. They're not a bunch of flaming drongos.
One of my favourite Simpsons episodes is Bart versus Australia.
Is Tony Hawk's actually going to get eaten by a shark? That's the only way people can exit a Sharknado film.
I don't know. He might grind down its face with his skateboard.
Yeah. Does he actually still skateboard?
I doubt it. Isn't it a competitive?
Because it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... Did they specifically ask for Tony Hawk? Not the film, like, in casting. I mean, like, the people here, Finn McSharkface, did he actually ask for Tony Hawk to go and do what he did, or was he just in the area and went to help out?
He was just passing with his helmet, his shin pads, his knee pads, his elbow pads, his gloves, and his skateboard.
At least he was safety conscious.
Exactly. Because when you're going to go rocket skating up the side of the Sydney Opera House, you better wear a helmet.
Mm.
No, it's flying off and shooting lasers. I've got through a can and a half of Stella. I've got a can and a half of Wife Beater in me and still not enjoying this.
Yeah, I've been on my crack pipe and not enjoying this. It's just beyond the joke now.
But we'll probably be back and doing this again next year, though. That's the thing.
I won't. You can do a bloody pool if you want. She just said, let's throw another shark on the Barbie. I'm not even joking.
Someone here... of tales from me on Twitter. Sharknado 5. Wouldn't firing lasers risk hitting small child? ? Yeah, gotta be safety conscious. I mean, they haven't thought this through, have they?
No, definitely not. Oh, we're in Brazil.
Obviously, bungeeing into Sharknado is the answer. Why didn't they think of this sooner?
Yeah.
Matt at Puff Matty.
Well, I mean, what are you hanging the bungee from to get into the... As high as the Sharknado.
Yeah, higher than, even.
Why have we got another 45 minutes of this to watch?
Is it really 45 minutes to go?
Well, if it finishes at 11, yes.
Christ almighty.
There are a lot of breasts in this film.
Oh my God, Indiana Jones, Sam Fox and sharks under Stonehenge. It's perfect already. I think we have very different opinions or definitions of the word.
Can you tweet them back and just say, has the dictionary changed the definition of perfect? You absolute moron.
Okay, what else have you been watching then? Because I know you watched another kind of Asylum-y film, Arctic Blast.
Yeah, Arctic Blast, which was on Netflix UK. And in Arctic Blast, what happened was, I don't know why it's called Arctic Blast, it's an Australian-Canadian film, and it's set in Australia. So that's why it's confusing to me why it's called Arctic Blast when it's clearly near the Antarctic. But whatever, right. Whatever.
Yeah, that's annoying. Yeah.
Whatever. And it's essentially Home and Away meets The Day After Tomorrow. There's a guy.
That's an interesting combination.
There's a guy. He's a scientist man, and he's a very clever scientist man, and he can predict like weather and stuff. But he can't predict this straight away. And it's like really cold weather that can like freeze you on the spot, like minus 200 degrees Celsius. Like, and it comes and freezes people. And it's something to do with the ozone layer. It makes a point at the start of the film. The coldest place on Earth isn't the North Pole or the South Pole, like people think. It's actually X amount of distance above the Earth's surface in the ozone layer. And then... Over Australia in real life, where there's like some depletion of the ozone layer, that's something to do with it.
It's along the equator somewhere, isn't it?
I don't know, but it just freezes people and everything. Yeah, it's really badly acted. The CGI is awful. You're told it was an asylum film, you wouldn't be surprised, put it that way.
Mm.
But I remember
asylum film?
No. I remember, though, coming home sometimes or in the afternoon, you know, whatever, my dad would be watching some awful disaster movie on Sci-Fi, and it'd be like the sun getting too hot and people have to go and live underground to get out of it for a bit, or there's solar flares knock out all, like, communication on Earth, and someone has to go and do something to fix it. And it's just loads of films like that, and they're all crap, but they're that crap you want to watch the end of them.
There have been some films like that that have turned out to be kind of entertaining, though. There was, I think it was Two-Headed Shark Attack, I think it was called, that was a bit like that, and then it turned out to be kind of just dumb fun.
Yeah.
Like, and Super Shark and stuff like that, where they just kind of, they are, like, crap, but at the same time, it's not so, you get a lot of them that are produced or... I think there was one that was directed by Roger Corman. So Roger Corman is the master of making bad movies entertaining to watch.
Mm.
But then you get stuff like Sharknado 5.
He's got his artifacts back now. This is going to somehow stop the sharks.
Game of Thrones. How's Game of Thrones been this season? Because I haven't been watching.
It's been good. 4 episodes in out of a short season of 7. It's been very good. I mean, some story arcs bore me, and some I find really interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
It all depends on. I find at the moment I find Bran ridiculously boring, and Arya as well. I couldn't care less about. But
which one's Bran? Is Bran the boy, the son of Bran, Sean Bean?
Yeah, he's Sean Bean's son, who's now a tree person who can see the future and the past at the same time.
Yeah, that has been the worst storyline in the whole thing since the beginning.
I know it's important to the overall mythology in that, but it's just boring.
Mm.
I mean, Daenerys is pretty boring, but like some of the battle scenes, like there's a battle in the last episode. And that was really just brilliant to watch. It was brutal. It's just there's so many different threads to it, and some you're just not interested in, and you can't wait for it to finish. Because you know you'll just end up finding out what happens to him in the end, and others you really quite get engrossed in. It's interesting, though, that they've had the books to base up until this season on, and now they don't actually have the books because he's taking ages to actually finish writing them. Is George R.R. Martin.
Well, that's
Martin.
The thing, right? I thought this series was the final series, but apparently it isn't. It's the penultimate series.
Yes, there's going to be 8 series, and this is the 7th. And I think this one's 7 episodes, and the final series is 8 episodes.
So do you think by the end of this series, we'll have Daenerys confronting the Starks and the blonde ones, whatever they're called,
the Lannisters?
Yes.
Well, obviously the big problem is the White Walkers, so you'd have thought that at some point everybody is going to unite, all the peoples of Westeros are going to unite to take on the White Walkers, because that's the main enemy, the ice zombie people.
Yeah,
but you know, I don't know how it'll all work out. I mean, at the moment you've got to Daenerys at war with the Lannisters, pretty much. Jon Snow and the North more concerned with the White Walkers. Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, so some characters just don't care less about. Couldn't care less.
No, I mean, they seem to kill off a lot of the more interesting ones most of the time anyway, don't they? They have a habit of just, like, shock killing off characters.
They do just sort of out of nowhere kill off somebody and you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any... Actually, no, I best not say anything. Although people are mostly up to date with it, I suppose. But
I haven't, like I say, watched any of it because I don't have Sky Atlantic. And so...
Yeah.
And also, like, the last series...
You have to stream it illegally.
I'd have to stream it illegally, but I don't. So I haven't watched any of it. But I have... The last series I binge watched, and I think because we did that, I much prefer doing that than watching it week by week.
Yeah, some shows work better like that. I mean, The Walking Dead works a lot better if you binge watch it than if you just watch it episodically, because out of a 20 episode season or whatever for The Walking Dead, about 8 of those are just pure filler where nothing happens.
Yeah. Oh, Sharknado 5 is back, and we've just had the Pope.
He's a good looking Pope.
You reckon?
As far as popes go.
He's played by an actor called Fabio.
I bet he is.
Yeah. So I think he was a model or something. I know he was in Zoolander.
Finn Shark Puncher has just kissed the Pope's ring.
We had to have that joke in there.
Hmm. Be disappointed if I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
At least there's only, half an hour left. This does definitely finish at 11, doesn't it? You've checked that.
I've double checked it, yeah, just to make sure.
Why has the Pope got this weapon?
Just best not to question these things. So another thing that I've just noticed, looking through the IMDb profiles of people who are in this film, Lucy Pinder, who we saw earlier on in the film, she is in Dangerous Game, Steve.
I bet she is.
The film that you have to watch because you lost the quiz a couple weeks back. A few weeks back. In fact, is now a good time as any to explain that we didn't do a podcast last week because of a few sort of glitches in the schedule and technical difficulties we've been having over the past few episodes?
Yeah, last week we didn't do a podcast because I was busy and poor scheduling by my part of when I was busy.
So originally we were going to do a football themed podcast with Paul Field and Liam as well. Liam was going to join us because of Dangerous Game, which is a quote unquote football film.
Yeah.
About a Premier League footballer who gets involved with a gang and robs a bank or something like that. The film that Paul Field described as worse than United Passions. But we had to postpone it. We'll do it again at some point because I really like that idea. I don't think we've actually had a proper football podcast before.
Do you want some Sharknado trivia?
Hit me.
So it was shot in 18 days. What was your idea for a...
That's quite a long period.
What was your tarantula-based movie called?
Tarantulava.
Well, you've got some bad news because this goes back to... So Steve Guttenberg was offered the lead role of Finn Shepard, turned it down. When the film became a cult hit, Guttenberg regretted to the point he accepted a role in sci-fi's Lavalantula, a movie about giant fire-breathing tarantulas that attack Los Angeles.
Tarantulava is better, isn't it?
Ian Ziering was unsure of doing the movie until talking to his wife, who insisted that he do the film as they had another child on the way and he needed work.
Steve Guttenberg has also been in Sharknado 4, by the way.
Right. Of course he has.
Yeah. He made it eventually. He got there.
Many crew members became seasick during principal photography, as well as one of the actors, so not everything could be filmed at the time, hence pickups were needed. A lot of the pickups were done with the boat at the dock, so not to get crew or talent seasick again.
Not that committed to the cause, then.
No.
They've just gone through a portal and landed in Tokyo. I either feel like we should have been paying full attention to this film to follow the plot, or... plot doesn't make much sense. Well, the sharks have formed a giant shark in Tokyo. They've joined together to form a shape of a giant shark.
He's this guy here who's playing like the hillbilly man. He's in Z Nation. Which you have yet to watch.
Yeah, he's... Z Nation is an asylum production, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone's just thrown a pokeball at the shark thing.
And it exploded. One down, 5,000 to go or something. Oh, man. We've got 20 minutes to go and I just want to quit it already. I haven't got the willpower to do this. Like this one who's dying, no. She was in the first Sharknado film, wasn't she? She was the one who worked behind the bar. And now she's dying.
Yeah.
And still a better death scene than what's the name in Dark Knight Rises. So we had some screeners come through on Blu-ray. Return of the Living Dead 3, which is, I mean, I've seen it a million times before, and I remember seeing it when I was really young and probably very much too young to be watching Return of the Living Dead 3. And all I can really remember from it is the nudity. But we also had a Blu-ray screener for a film called Blood Diner, which is another one of these 80s... it's not really a slasher film, but it's kind of about a cult and cannibalism. I'll give you the synopsis that we had through. Grab a table at the Blood Diner, a cut above the rest. The Tuttman brothers run the most popular restaurant in town. Popular, that is, if you're the county coroner. The head, that head is in quotation marks, the head chef has a real human touch with his special recipes. A killer lineup of delicacies made from human flesh. One of the most insane and over-the-top horror comedies ever made, Blood Diner is presented here fully uncut, restored from original vault materials, and features a buffet of tasty supplemental features you'll just die for. I quite like that as a description. That was partly what attracted me to request that.
To be honest.
It was directed by someone called Jackie Kong, director. She was, I think this is her most famous movie. And she provides a audio commentary on this. I watched some of the film with some of the commentary, some of the film without the commentary. I have to be honest, it's not the best film commentary that I've ever watched. Sometimes you watch these and they always work better for me when it's like someone really heavily involved in the production who's got all that knowledge and insight to provide, working alongside maybe like a member of the cast who's a bit more naturally funny or interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit dry. It's a lot of like Jackie just talking about the making of the movie, which is kind of interesting for places, but not enough to make me think, well, I'll watch the entire film with that on and switch it off. But it's got lots of stuff on the featurettes. There's tons of like missing scenes, interviews. They've got TV spots and things like that. So it's quite a packed Blu-ray, decent Blu-ray. And the film itself is, I started off rolling my eyes. And then by the end of the film, I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was actually quite fun. It was stupid. And it doesn't treat the audience with any ounce of intelligence, but it's not really that sort of film. It's just a daft horror comedy full of again lots of nudity, but that's kind of what it was, you know, that's the audience it was targeting at the time. Lots and lots of gore, terrible acting and terrible dialogue, but it's kind of inconsequential to the fact that the atmosphere and the tone of is going for just typical B-movie stuff really. So that comes out on Blu-ray on the 28th of August and is worth having a look at. If you've never seen the uncut version, it looks great. It really doesn't look like a restored 80s film. It looks properly in HD, which I was surprised by as well. So kudos to the team at Vestron. It's part of the Vestron Collector series. So yeah. That passed a bit of time, didn't it, whilst we were avoiding mentioning Sharknado 5?
Yeah, because it has been utterly abysmal. We've got,
I mean, Egypt now properly globe-trotting.
Yeah, we seem to be like some kind of weird flashback thing now as well. I just don't understand. There doesn't seem to be a plot. It just doesn't seem to be cohesive at all. We're now at the pyramids and the Sphinx.
Do you know what it needs? It needs an actual, like, MacGuffin. It needs a, they know the Sharknado can only be defeated with that stone that they got at the first, in the very first scene. Mm. If it built the entire premise around, they have to get to this particular temple at this particular time to get this particular stone. There's your film.
Yeah.
Right? And then the Sharknado is the thing that happens around that. What they've done instead is, here's the Sharknado. What the fuck do we do for 90 minutes?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it needed, and people, the MacGuffin is the most overused plot device in movies, but it just gives structure to what is otherwise a structureless mess of incohesive scenes, or uncohesive scenes.
It's very much thinking of the
title. This is not a good film.
It's very much thinking of the title first and then working backwards from there. rather than coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than coming up with the idea and a plot and then just giving it a title afterwards.
Which is fine for like one or even two movies, but at this point, just a basic semblance of plotline would have aided it considerably.
I could have spent this 2 hours doing so much more important things.
What would you have done with your 2 hours, Steve?
It would have all been quite boring, but it would have all been related to football tomorrow and getting this kit washed, doing some admin, notifying people of what they need to bring tomorrow, that kind of stuff, really.
I
would have eaten. I would have had some food.
Have you not eaten yet?
No, not yet.
Not had food?
Not since lunchtime, no.
That's pretty heavy going.
So I'm
going
to end up having just some tortellini, I expect, because it'll be quick to cook. I don't really fancy it. But the other option is...
Have you got any cold tins of beans?
No, I wish I did. Tony Hawk's back. My other option is to drive to McDonald's or KFC, and I can't be really bothered to do that.
Sharknado's not put you in the mood for, like, fish and chips?
I couldn't get fish and chips if I wanted to at the moment.
Have you ever had orange chips?
No.
Do you know what I even mean by orange chips?
No.
Orange chips are a black country thing. Like, as in, like, where I'm from, the Midlands, West Midlands, Wolverhampton, Dudley, Albury, that kind of area, right? So orange chips are chips that are battered. They are fucking delicious. And I can't get them anywhere except when I go back home. And my dad never liked them. He's never liked orange chips because he's from Birmingham, not the West, not from the Black Country. So I very rarely have them. But the other thing is, nobody ever seems to know what they are. Like, they look at you like you're mad. Like, they expect them to taste of, like, Fanta or Tango or something. They don't. They're not orange-flavoured. They're just orange-coloured because they're battered.
Mm.
Fuck, what? There we go. There's Jedwood again.
What do you call a bread roll where you're from?
Just a cob. It's a cob.
It's different everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you call it? A bat?
No, a bread roll.
Just a bread roll.
It's a bread roll, that's what it is. But you get all over the country, it's like bread roll, bap, balm cake, balm, cob, fucking stotty.
Yeah, it was...
Bread bottoms and...
It was a cob by us. A chip cob or, you know, cheese cob.
But a cob roll for me is something different. Like, a bread roll is like a soft bread roll. A cob roll is like a crusty roll. And they're two different things.
Yeah.
This is what it comes to. With Sharknado 5 is that bad. We're talking about the regional versions of what people call bread rolls.
Yeah. We're globe-trotting in a very... We're not really globe-trotting, we're UK-trotting. Okay, how about the TV remote? What do you call that?
The remote.
Just the remote.
I bet you call it the clicker, don't you?
I've always called it the changer.
The changer, not the clicker or the duffer.
Not the clicker. Nope, not the duffer. I'll call it the changer.
I think with these things, the more north you go, the weirder these names for them get.
I think that's true. The more, like, abstract the concept becomes.
Around the Midlands, it's like the clicker or the changer, and you can get why it's called that. And then the further north, they call it the duffer. You know, what?
Yeah.
The
duffer doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Or you just glue all your remotes together and call it a transformer. The Megatron.
Tara Reid has just exploded. Does that mean the end of the Sharknado series?
I could make a joke about that and American Pie films and teenagers and Tara Reid. I'm not going to, because I'm better than that.
You're not. I don't know why you're not.
I can't think of a good joke.
There's no point kidding anybody now. We're like 280 episodes into this podcast, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, it's nearly finished. I don't really know what's happened.
Nearly finished. I don't really know what's happened either. I mean, are we supposed to feel as upset as Finn feels right now? Is anybody emotionally moved by the fact Tara Reid has been destroyed?
Judging by that acting, Finn isn't.
See, like, No, this is what I'm talking about, the existential crisis for Tara Reid, because she is just ahead. And if she's alive as just ahead, then how much of her left is Tara Reid?
Yeah, but...
the answer is not very much.
I mean, you could ask that question outside of this film, and it would still apply.
How much is flesh and how much is plastic?
Yeah, they're going to put a head on a shark's body, aren't they?
Don't say that, because they will. She'll just be a chainsaw with legs.
I reckon I could write Sharknado 6 and it'd be better than this.
Yeah, it'd be hard to be worse than it, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Now the world is properly destroyed, though. This is the end of the world scenario they promised.
Thank God.
And it doesn't even seem to have been caused by anything in particular, just Sharknadoes.
Mm.
Oh, it looks like he's got Homer Simpson's bubble car.
Shit.
Oh, here we go. This is the cameo I've been waiting for. And there's a continuity error. He took his helmet off and had his hood down. And then cut back and his hood is up. Oh. And then he takes his hood down. Oh dear. His son is Dolph Lundgren. That is a twist I did not see coming.
How's he not aged, but his son has that much?
He time travelled, Steve, when he went through the portal, I think. Time travelled at some point. See, no, like, this is the thing that could be interesting. Why didn't they do this at the start and have, like, a Mad Max ripoff?
Why didn't they do anything?
Why didn't they do anything other than what they did?
Yeah.
Where we're going, you don't need a license. And now they're about to travel in time via a car.
Never, yep. Yeah, I don't know where
there's another reference. And then the end titles to be continued. Fuck you. Fuck you. Oh my God, that is a very fast end credit sequence.
At least it's done now.
Don't expect to look for your name. Yeah, don't expect to look for your name if you were involved in that film.
Well, we can turn it off now, can't we?
We're done, Steve. Close X out of that fucking window. Thank you all for listening, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone will have finished this.
Yeah, thank you.
No one's going to have made it to the end of this episode.
Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this more than we have. We fully understand it if you've given up by this point, but obviously you won't be listening anymore. We'll be back next week with a more normal podcast, something more conventional where we actually review films and...
We're back to a bit more of our regular schedule.
Yeah.
So this diversion that we've had for the past couple of weeks, we kind of apologise for. But things will be back to the usual with Andrew Brooker and Brian Plank. We'll review Atomic Blonde and Annabelle Creation. And if it comes out anywhere near us, we'll see A Ghost Story as well, which looks like it could be quite interesting. With Casey Affleck as a ghost in a sheet. We'll see.
Yeah, so join us next week for a more normal podcast.
The Failed Critics Podcast is presented by Steve Norman and Owen Hughes, with contributions from different guests every week, with original music provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com from the track The Bandit, remixed by James Yule, who you can find at jamesyule.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Failed Critics, on iTunes and all good podcast apps, or you can check us out at failedcritics.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a rating or a review. And why not check out our sister podcasts, Character Unlock and Bill and Mullinger's Underground Nights, from the Failed Media Network of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.